It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jared King, alongside of me and of course, as always, Joe Dart on the ones and the twos. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is presented by Lincoln Agency this season, Season 6, Episode 9. Sponsors are National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland, Chevrolet in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegesteel.com hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's hear your thoughts on that North Texas loss, homecoming loss for Louisiana Tech last Saturday inside of Joe Ayer Stadium. A dead afternoon kickoff.
A dead Joe Ayer Stadium.
It was not a good atmosphere inside of the Joe last Saturday. Send your emails with questions and comments to our inbox, radio at bleedtechblue.com. Let's start off with that, Jared. I think that's the obvious place to go. Of course, Louisiana Tech lost, and it wasn't a pretty game. Lost 28-13 on homecoming. Had a 10-0 lead at one point, and North Texas with a pick six to a scramble for a 61-yard pass.
It's a broken play.
Broken play. The defense did their job. Breland Chancellor, their best offensive weapon, just makes a play.
Well, their best weapon on offense, their best weapon on special teams, really a guy who
player on their team.
Absolutely. Really a guy who I thought for the most part besides
that play was contained. And then right after that 56-yard interception return for a touchdown, that was the backbreaker. Then, of course, Louisiana Tech misses a field goal right before halftime that would have made it 14-13, a chip shot that you have to make in college football. Then in the second half, scored 14 more points in the third quarter. We're scoreless in the fourth with Tech scoring three to make it 28-13. A lot of people were questioning why Holtz went for a field goal at that point. Well, you had to have three eventually.
Yeah, you had to have three eventually. At least it turns it into a two-score game.
I don't know how that's a wonder.
I don't really think that's a debatable call.
The bad part is Tech outgained North Texas Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, they had over 400 yards of offense, 367 through the air, 37 on the ground, compared to 386 for North Texas, which was much more balanced, 221 through the air, 165 on the ground.
And, you know, a lot of people are getting sick of Coach Holtz saying that we're just not being efficient on offense, but it's the truth. I'm asking some tough questions during the press conferences, and he's answering them all. He's not shying away from any of them. But when you put up 404 total yards of offense and score 13 points.
Yeah, it just doesn't add up.
You left three on the field with a missed field goal. So there's 16, a pick six that your defense doesn't see any of. So that makes it. You take away those seven, it's 21-16.
Right, and it's a ball game.
It's still not efficient enough on offense. But you cannot turn the ball over. We'll call it twice, because the third time was a fumble lost on the very last play of the game by Tech. You can't turn the ball over twice and expect to win.
No. And to throw the interceptions where Higgins threw them, and at the time of the drive, you know, it's just frustrating. It's really frustrating. Five plays, throw a pick. Nine plays, throw a pick. And when you're on, you know, when you're going down the field, it's drive killer. And it's absolutely a drive killer. But not only that, but after the first pick, field goal, they miss the field goal. And then coming out of halftime, they punt twice in a row. And then finally they get on the board with the final points of the game on another field goal. But you throw the interception, It's just frustrating.
The offense has got the offensive line still has eons to go.
Yeah, the offensive line is bad.
The tackles gave up sacks, gave up pressure. The guards gave up pressure.
Kano.
Oh, let me say the left guard. Matt Shepard is still the best offensive lineman on that line, and it's not even close. Vince Kano had a good game 2 weeks ago, did not have a good game Saturday.
No.
If they could ever find consistent play on that offensive line, they would be okay.
Yeah. I mean, Higgins was getting pressured off of a three-step drop. I mean, he's dropping back three steps. Somebody's in his face, and he's having to get rid of the ball. And it's just really frustrating. And, you know, I've heard people say that they're tired of Skip Holtz being outcoached. Skip Holtz was not outcoached in this football game. When you can't get the ground game going, and your quarterback is getting pressured on three-step drops. I mean, he put them in the best situation to win. They were completing passes. They were moving the ball down the field. It's just that, unfortunately, the team still has to execute, and the offensive line was not executing. I mean, he threw for 343 yards.
10 different players caught a ball. They're distributing the ball to their playmakers. They just have to make a play to get a score.
Right.
You have Andrew Guiot averaging almost a first down every time he catches the ball at 9.9 yards a catch. Hunter Lee at 9 yards a catch. Richie Casey at 19.3 yards a catch. Jadrick DeCluitt at 14.5 yards a catch. Sterling Griffin at 9.3 yards a catch, but none of them had touchdown receptions.
No. And, you know, you mentioned Richie Casey with three catches for 58 yards, nearly 20 yards per catch. But, boy, there are times when I just feel like Richie Casey doesn't even deserve to be on the football field.
I tend to disagree. I've heard several people have told me that this week. Richie Casey,
he just doesn't have hands.
He has inconsistent hands, but he runs a good route. He's open. But at the same time, the outside receivers at Tech are where they're struggling.
Yeah.
At least he's getting open.
True. This is true.
And he's getting open downfield.
The problem is that he's getting open, but he can't catch the football.
Let's go to the collegesteel.com hotline on line one with Dwayne. Dwayne, how's it going, man?
Hey, Ford.
What's on your mind?
Hey, I beg to differ with the fact he was out, coach.
Let's hear it.
Going into that ball game, they knew they were going to put 9 in the box. Stop Dixon and dare you to beat them with the pass. You know, Ray Charles could see that coming. And he had nothing. No scheme. No moving the quarterback. No screens out to the side, slow down the rush. No shuffle pass. No nothing to counteract that. He got out coached. He's been out coached 4 straight years. I'm sorry. We went cheap. Sometimes you get what you pay for. And this is an excellent example of what you get what you pay for. That team from the opening ball game, they showed a little bit of fire against Kansas. But that team has no fire in their belly when they walk out of that field house and walk down that hill and walk in that stadium. Lamar, they played ho-hum against Lamar. You know, somebody we should have beat by 50 points. I think a team assumes the qualities of their head coach as far as spirit and drive. You look like at a Mike White coach basketball team. Mike's fiery. Mike's a type A personality. Mike's a go-getter. Now, Skip says all the right things. He's an excellent speaker, one of the best faces of that program we've had there. However, when it comes between the lines, he takes a lot of big. You said, man.
It looks like we lost Dwayne. A bad connection, probably on Lake Claiborne. Roughing it up there on Lake Claiborne. Dwayne, when you get a better reception, give us a call back. And everybody has a right to their opinion. I don't think that he was outcoached. I mean, there's some things that could be changed, and I wouldn't have asked the questions that I did yesterday in a press conference if I thought that everything was perfect.
Sure.
You got to use the middle of the field more. They did
on the first drive. They were. They used the middle of the field.
And Ryan missed a couple of those throws, and that might have been why they shied away from those later in the game.
Right. You're still dealing with a quarterback who just doesn't have any accuracy. Ryan Higgins is not an accurate quarterback. He does not throw the ball with accuracy. He puts some zip on his pass, but it's behind his receiver. It's ahead of his receiver. I mean, and that's the part that, you know, begins to get frustrating as you watch the game, because you can see where Tech is having some difficulty getting open when you go deep down the field with receivers. Sterling Griffin would be one of them that jumped out at me, although he didn't get a whole lot of playing time in the beginning of the game. He was on the treadmill keeping his legs warm, but I was thinking,
and to counter the point that Dwayne made about the fire of the team, you were in the student section this past week. Talk about the fire you saw.
This week was the first game that I've been able to sit in the stands. We had some family come in for the game, and so I sat in the student section right there in the front row on the 50, right behind the offensive line. And there was a point right before halftime where Kenneth Dixon was so fired up and DJ Banks were so fired up that Kenneth had to be pulled away from DJ by the offensive line coach Matt Moore, because he was, I mean, right in his face, had both hands on him, and then later on in the game, Tech goes three and out. Kenneth Dixon tries to get around the corner on a couple of outside runs. And there just wasn't any blocking, and he just, you know, he couldn't get the corner. They go three and out. They punt the football, and all five offensive linemen are sitting down on a bench right there in front of me, and Kenneth Dixon is right in their face, and he still has his helmet on, and they do not. And he hits two guys in the head with his helmet, yelling at them, trying to get them fired up. But it seemed like the only one that was really connecting with him was Vince Kano, who you could argue had the worst game of the five offensive linemen that were there. But still, for someone to say that there's a lack of fire, then that they're coming out flat, it's just not true. They're football players. They play to win the game.
Herm Edwards, ladies and gentlemen.
You play to win the game. No, but it's true. They're not going out there with a mindset that they're going to lose. Everybody, they want to win. They're fired up. It's not that. And to say that they've taken on the qualities of Coach Holtz and that they have no drive and no passion
is ludicrous. Would you go that far?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good word to use. Skip's not a rah-rah guy, but he's got plenty of assistant coaches that are there doing that.
Several people have told me this, and of course I don't have access to the locker room and don't ever really want access to the locker room with lots of stuff comes from that, I don't ever want that responsibility of not being able to say that those kind of things that come with knowing things in a locker room. That's what sources are for. Skip Holtz is a fiery guy in the locker room.
Well, and I have a source inside the locker room that tells me that he's a player's coach, and the players love him to death, that he's a fiery guy in the locker room, that he gets in your face, he gets you pumped up, and that he knows exactly what to say when he needs to say it. And then the flip side of that is that he also knows exactly what to say when he's in front of the media on Mondays giving press conferences and post-game press conferences as well.
I would disagree. I'm not a huge fan of his post-game press conferences. When you say you're proud of the effort, now your defense did play decently, but I don't. When it's a loss, if I'm a coach, I'm not really proud of anything. Now, you got teaching moments. I understand that.
Right.
There's teaching moments in life, and you can make a positive out of a negative. Maybe that's where he's coming from, but just don't think that's the time to say that. But like I said, everybody's has their own opinions.
And maybe you can say that against a loss to a different team, but I don't like.
But Tech whipped this team, minus in the running game, in the first half. Tech dominated this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if they got beat from the start. They had a lead, and then going into halftime, it should have and could have been a one-point game. And they had just as many first downs. It's not as if – and they outgained North Texas in total yards. It's not as if they were getting beat down, because they weren't, especially in the first half. The defense was actually playing really well besides the
busted play.
The busted play. That's it.
On the other side of the break, we'll continue this North Texas talk. Let's get your thoughts. 888-993-7762 on the collegesteel.com hotline. 888-993-7762 or send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. I am Jay Ford, publisher of bleedtechblue.com. We'll be back right after this.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
That's right. We are back here. Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7 in Ruston. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared King, staff writer, alongside of me. We are in episode 9 of season 6.
Going by quickly.
It's going by fast. Jared, a couple of sponsors, of course, were presented by Lincoln Agency.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Fairway Carts, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. And give us a call on the collegesteel.com hotline at 888-993-7762.
He nailed it, ladies and gentlemen, from memory. And it's not even written in the same order that I write it down in.
Isn't that something?
Let's go to the collegesteel.com hotline with Mr. Burton. How's it going, Mr. Burton?
Fine. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
I've been wanting to ask this question since I saw the Lamar Grambling game. We were leading them 16-0. Maybe one of the games we had to win in the football game of the season. I'm trying to figure out how in the world they were able to play Louisiana Tech that close. Can somebody explain that to me?
It was not a good football game. And Kenneth Dixon got hurt in the game. I mean, the best player on the whole roster, you're reeling from your best player getting hurt. No team responds well to that.
Well, you know, you're talking about a school that started back playing football 3 years ago, Division II, what we used to call Division II, now subdivision. And Louisiana Tech had a good season last year, had several good seasons since they've been in. We consider them a mid-level major, well, it's still major. But after I looked at the talent-wise, how did they play Louisiana Tech that close? I'm still trying to figure out. We lost, Grambling lost them because Grambling hadn't won a football game since 2011, a real game. They beat some of the schools for homecoming last year. I don't even barely remember who that was. But after I saw that team, I've been intending to call the show and somebody explain to me how did they play Louisiana Tech. Even with those people going out, you're talking about subdivision school playing a mid-major. Hey, that still should have been a bigger score, in my opinion.
Well, there's not a whole lot of people who will disagree with that fact, and we here on this show agree with you that it should have been a bigger deficit, but at the end of the day, it wasn't. So, and it was many, many moons ago at this point in the season as well.
Yeah, it was, and I just wanted to see
they're 2-5.
2-5, okay. All right, I just wanted to know there.
Thanks, Mr. Burton.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, there's that. Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Give us your thoughts. North Texas, Louisiana Tech, 888-993-7762 on the collegesteel.com hotline. We have a caller. Who we have?
Chris.
We have Chris on line one. Chris, what's going on, man?
It's going all right, guys. You know, as a Tech grad, it pains me to say this, but we have to look at the talent level of the team. I mean, you said earlier that, you know, well, we'll be okay if the line plays good, you know, but being okay is not good enough. I mean, we should not be on talent, you know, our talent level is competing with Lamar. Our talent level is competing with Tulane. I mean, Tulane might be quarterbacked by Joe Montana's son, but, I mean, he's no Joe Montana. And, you know, we're playing in Conference USA, which is, in my opinion, I hate to sound rude, I mean, but it's just the new WAC. And we should be at the top of the talent level, but you have to look at your talent of your recruits, and I love Ruston, but we're in a small area as far as, you know, recruiting goes. That, you know, we don't have the big city lights that Baton Rouge has, and the other part is besides the city, you have to look at, you know, when one big recruit goes to school, another big recruit will follow.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But when you look at the talent level on the team, there's a lot of people who want to put so much blame at the foot of Coach Holtz. He inherited the majority of this team.
Oh, yeah, and the good players we had that were gone, you know, that were there before he got there, all graduated. Colby Cameron, you know, Patton, and others, you know, and the right or left tackle, Mills, you know, he's with the Bears, I believe, now. You know, all the talent that he could have inherited all graduated. You can't help that. And I looked at the schedule, and I thought we could go easily 8-4. And that was, you know, being realistic before the Lamar game. And now I just hope we make the bowl game. And the only reason we were able to go 9-3 last year is because, you know, we pretty much had the Rams version for college last year, the greatest show on turf. That's why we were able to combat our last ranked defense. And we lost all the star power we had for that show.
So you think that Tech fans just need to keep be realistic and realize what's in front of them?
Yeah, I mean, we have potential to be good or great in a couple years, but right now all the talent we had is gone. You know, and I realized that after the Lamar game, they just had to be patient. I mean, is it still possible we can go 6-6? Yeah, but we have to beat FIU or Southern Miss is pretty much the game I'm flipping back and forth between win and lose. But even if we go 500, who's to say we qualify for a bowl based on those losses and a close win over Lamar? That hurts our bowl potential. So I think we just need to play every game the rest of this year. You know, never give up on a season, never give up on a game, and just expect greater things for next year.
Thanks, Chris, for your call.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. You know, he brings up very good points.
Yeah.
But the question that I have posed to Tech fans since really when it looked like this season may not be what we were all expecting it to be. Do you think we all thought that last year was the new norm, and were we ignorant to think that last year was the new norm?
Well, I've been quoted as saying that last year was an aberration. It wasn't an aberration because the talent was there. I just don't think that last year – I mean, I am so thankful that I attended Louisiana Tech during 2012 football season. Because it's one of the best that's ever going to ever. It's one of the best that Tech's ever going to experience. It's completely unrealistic to ask someone to repeat that when most of the key factors of that team, including four offensive linemen, are gone.
I'm not gonna bring up the 32 seniors because as Jason Jones posted on my board this on the Bleed Tech Blue board this week, that number's skewed.
It is. It's. Didn't he say it's really more like 26 that actually,
which is about normal,
right?
Whenever you sign,
but
25,
what you're looking at
when
is,
you sign 25 players a year.
Right.
Now, granted, you're going to want to redshirt some of those guys, so you don't want all to leave at the same time.
Well,
I understand,
and then you look
that.
And then you look at JUCOs. There are a lot of JUCO kids that are only there for 2 years, and so that does add to the number. But when you look at 26 guys that you're losing, what you want to look at is what you're replacing them with, and the talent level that Louisiana Tech was losing compared to what they were replacing them with was astronomical.
Yeah.
Especially along the offensive line.
Exactly. Let's go back to the collegesteel.com hotline with Michael. Michael, what's going on, man?
What's going on? The Tech team last year was good on offense. Okay? If they were the team that you're trying to paint them out to be, they'd have won at least one of those last two games on the road. The bottom line is Sonny Dykes put us in this mess that we're in. He had a 3-year plan. He played it out perfectly to get out of here.
Preach it.
I
said preach it.
Do you agree with that or you don't agree with it?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with it.
Absolutely.
He killed us. I mean, I don't know if Holtz is a good coach or not. I don't think the offensive coordinator knows what he's doing. That's the worst, boringest offensive game plan that I've ever seen. I mean, you couldn't even stay there for more than a half and watch that. It was pathetic, you know. So there's only so much you can do with the defense.
I disagree with you on the offensive coordinator. It takes – It takes some ability.
He's coaching those quarterbacks, okay? And that second string quarterback that he put out there at Tulane looked like he hadn't been coached a down.
He's also a redshirt freshman quarterback, and you're asking a lot of.
Luke McCown was a true freshman. Hey,
Luke McCown's a different animal than Ryan Higgins.
McCown is in the NFL playing quarterback for the Bears right now.
He looked like he has never played football against Tulane ever, much less practice for 2 days and a few weeks.
But let me ask you this question. How do you, if you don't have an offensive coordinator that's worth
I don't know if he's good or not. I know the game plan was terrible.
Let me finish, brother. If he didn't have a good game plan, how in the world did Louisiana Tech get 405 yards of offense or 404 yards of offense Saturday?
I don't know.
Exactly.
He didn't score.
But does that fall on the feet of the offensive coordinator? Is he the one out there executing?
You got to score.
There's no doubt about it. You got to score more points than the other team.
Maybe North Texas' game plan was, we know they can't score when they get down, and they will just let them run between the lines. I don't know. In the first half, it was terrible. I didn't see our offense playing that great, if you ask me. They're going to let you dink and dunk for the 50 yards. But
they averaged a half a yard less per gain than North Texas did in the game.
How did we lose?
They lost because North Texas scored 28 points and Louisiana Tech scored 13, and Ryan Higgins threw a pick six that ruined the momentum of the game.
Thank you.
And nobody's discounting that, but I don't know how you can put that on the feet of the offensive coordinator.
You don't just coaching is just not calling game. It's just not calling plays. You got to coach your players to be able to play.
Do you think he told Ryan Higgins, hey, on that route, you need to underthrow it?
I don't think Ryan Higgins was ready to play from day one. I just don't think he was ready to play from the beginning of the season. So I'm trying to figure out what he was doing in practice the whole time. Because I will say this, he looks completely different than he looked in the Tulane game.
For the better or for the worse?
For better.
Well, do you think that lands on the coach's shoulders or what?
I'm just
trying to let you follow my logic. I'm trying to help you think through it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out because this is the easiest schedule Tech has had in 30 years.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And we're going to blow it, you know. So
nobody is less frustrated than that football team that's sitting at practice right now. I promise. Nobody.
I don't want to, you know, bonehead plays, man. Kansas, the quarterback sticking the ball out there and dropping it. That's Higgins, right?
Okay. I said it was a bonehead play afterwards.
For a touchdown, that's Higgins, right? Maybe he and the guy.
No arguments. I'm okay. With you. You got to execute, and they're not executing.
And I'll tell you about coaching at Kansas. When you're down there on the 15-yard line and a field goal can win it, you have to spoon-feed these guys that they're not that smart. As much as I love Dixon, you got to pull the whole team over and say, we're not fumbling. We don't have to score a touchdown here. We're just killing the clock, and we're going to win this thing with a field goal. At worst, we don't need third and fourth efforts to get into the end zone and fumble. You know, that is coaching.
I hear where you're coming from, but whatever, you've got a running back like Kenneth Dixon, that is who he is.
Then take him out and put Hunter Lee in.
Michael, you're being
somebody you can coach.
You're being really short-sighted.
I'm not being short-sighted. I'm telling you, when you get your team down there by the goal line with a minute to go in the game or a minute hit 40, you're telling your players, put both hands on the ball. We're not fumbling. We're not. I mean,
do you know for a fact that they didn't say that?
Well, then you're coming back to my point. Then put somebody who will do what the coaches say in that situation.
Whenever you've got
Did anybody ever ask that question?
When you've got a kid like Kenneth Dixon who set a freshman touchdown record a year ago and barely fumbled the ball.
Nobody's disagreeing. He's one of my favorite players, but you still have to be smart. You have to play the game smart when it comes down to a win or a loss.
You're just arguing for the sake of arguing at this point.
No, I'm not.
There's no doubt you
are. You got the rose-colored glasses on, man. You're not seeing the truth.
The truth is that Kenneth Dix is the best player on the team.
No doubt. I agree with you.
So you pull him out to put somebody that's not as good as him in there. That's what
I wanted.
That's what you just said.
No, what you said was I wanted to know, did the coaches call Kenneth over and say, we don't need the third and fourth effort to get into the end zone and take a risk of fumbling?
I don't have proof that he didn't do it, and I don't have proof that he did do it.
That would have been a good question to ask the coaches. But no one over Tech can ask those kind of questions. I guess y'all get dismissed from asking questions.
Have you ever listened or watched a press conference at Louisiana Tech?
Yeah.
Then you know the questions that I ask.
No, I don't watch the press conferences now. You said if I ever.
Do you watch them now?
No.
Then you don't know what questions I'm asking.
With them now.
We will take. We're up against the break. Thanks for your call, Michael. Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Well, the most heated episode or segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
I'd almost say episode. Four calls already, and we're only into the third segment.
I hope that everybody out there thinks that I handled that all right. I think I handled it as well as I could have.
I thought it was fine. It's always good on the radio waves to have a little back
banter
and forth.
Nothing. I have got nothing against my friend Michael. I hope he's breathing all right now. I'm doing okay.
Get your blood pressure checked, both of you.
Oh, I'm fine. I've been on the radio for 6 years. It's really not the first time I've had that kind of a moment.
I've been on the radio for 8 episodes.
Jared didn't say a whole lot when it was going on.
I didn't. Because during those conversations, I have to remember that I'm not a student.
You got to remember what your role is. That's what you have to do.
Oh, well, not only that, but I have to remember that my heart starts beating pretty fast in moments like that. And I just have to remember to bite my tongue and possibly just wait. Maybe Ford will give me a hook, and if not, let him handle it on his own.
And I did the latter. Let's hear some sponsors. Do you think you've still got those on your?
I absolutely have them. Bleak Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. You can call us on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
I think we've proven tonight we take any call.
Any call.
No question is too hard.
No, I completely agree. Absolutely. Any call. I mean, we even talked a little grambling.
We did talk some grambling, and that's – we didn't touch the other subject with a 10-foot pole.
Sure, no. We tried to steer clear. Way, way clear.
And still are.
Right, yeah. No, I'm not going to mention it.
We'll just insinuate it.
Yeah. Surely by now everybody knows what happened, and we don't have to say anything about it.
I would – the games on offense have really been won and lost in the offensive line.
They have. Someone had mentioned, sure, the defense is going to let you dink and dunk down the field. Well, look, North Texas in pass defense is number 3 in the conference. North Texas in total defense is number 1 in the conference. It wasn't as if Louisiana Tech was moving it against a scrub Conference USA defense for 404 yards on Saturday. It wasn't that. The North Texas defense, including giving up the 404 yards against Louisiana Tech, is still number 1 in total defense in Conference USA. With that being said, I think had the offensive line been able to hold anybody away from the quarterback or opened a single hole for Kenneth Dixon to get through, you're looking at a Louisiana Tech win.
I wouldn't go that far because that pick six hurt.
Well, it does, but it's still 14-13 at halftime with the field goal at least.
That's a fair point. Let's go back to the collegesteel.com hotline with Jim. What's on your mind, Jim?
Well, I got a question.
Oh, I got an answer. I proved that last time. I've got an answer to everything.
Why is it always the former coach's fault?
You know, that actually is a good question. You got to pass the blame to somebody, don't you?
I mean, all we heard last year was how the praises that everybody sang for Sonny Dykes. He did a fantastic job. And several times this year on different radio shows, I've heard Sonny Dykes left us with nothing. Sonny Dykes let us down. I don't understand that. The guy goes 9-3 at Tech, ranked 25th at one time. And keep in mind, let's go back a couple of years. This is coming behind everybody saying that Dooley had left the program in terrible shape. Dooley had done Tech wrong. So Dykes comes in. Turns out that we're not so bad with Sonny Dykes.
Well, I see where you're going, and the thing is Sonny did build a very good football team. There is, I mean, there's you cannot argue it. I think they got up to even as high as number 19 in the country. But putting one team on the field is just half the battle. You got to build a program. You got to be worried about what you're going to do next year with your depth. And when Louisiana Tech signed double-digit junior college players for really 3 years, you're putting yourself between a rock and a hard place with depth because you're having to reload every single year, having to reteach every single year players. And that is where people say that Sonny Dykes hurt them, hurt Louisiana Tech, is in recruiting.
People who say that are wrong. And I'm telling you this right now. If Sonny Dykes was still the coach of Louisiana Tech, they would not have the record they have right now. Okay? And Sonny Dykes didn't let Louisiana Tech down. If anything, he was rewarded with his good season by getting to sit home during both seasons. So, if anything, Louisiana Tech let Sonny Dykes down. The guy got a raise 2.5 times what he was making. He's going to leave. That's what they're all going to do.
Oh, and nobody's discounting that he shouldn't have left. They're just saying that his recruiting tactics did not help Tech in building a program, and that's honestly the facts. When you sign that many junior college players and you lose, you have a revolving door in your roster, and it changes so often, it's hard to have any continuity, and they don't have a whole lot of continuity this year, and you can't argue that fact.
Well, I can tell you this. If he was coaching that team today, they'd have a better record because they've got a heck of a defense. They got a fine running back. And Dykes would figure out Dykes has proven that he can work with young quarterbacks. This is not Sonny Dykes' fault. Whatever is going on over there, you know, when you have a coaching change, it's a shock to the players. It really is. You got a new system to learn and all that. All that is part of it. Okay, it's not, but the fact that Sonny Dykes is not here, it's not his fault. I'll tell you, if he was here, they'd have a better record. And I'll tell you something else too.
Well,
the competition you're going up against is not a sneeze. North Texas is no sneeze.
No, they're not a bad football team. Absolutely not. And to say that Sonny Dykes would probably have a better record, that's almost impossible to argue because you would have continuity on the staff, and there wouldn't have been any turnover in the schemes and that kind of thing. So no, absolutely they would have a better record, but there was.
That's right. And there are some coaches that go in and turn a program around with the same players that a coach previously was losing. The guy comes in, pretty much the same players, he turns around and wins. How does that happen? You know? So, I mean, you can't – I mean, you just – you know, Holtz has got to take some of the responsibility. It's not all Dyke.
He has taken responsibility. And I know of two press conferences where he did say that the coaches, they need to prepare the team better. And he has taken responsibility. And there's a lot of coaches around the country that don't do that ever. So. Yeah. I think he needs to be commended for doing that. That takes a lot of swallowing of your pride to admit that, yeah, maybe I didn't prepare my team as well as I could have. Jim, we're up against a break. We really appreciate the phone call. We got a guest coming up in the next segment. Good phone call from Jim. We've got Solomon from PantherRage.com joining us in the next segment. He is the publisher of the Florida International FIU Rivals.com site. We will talk Louisiana Tech FIU after this break.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Man, a fun show so far. Lots of phone calls. Right after this segment, they'll open right back up. We want to hear from you on the collegesteel.com hotline, 888-993-7762. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Solomon Frieder. Of PantherRage.com.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Let's head to that CollegeSteel.com hotline with our friend Solomon Frieder with PantherRage.com. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. Sorry for the last-minute schedule about an hour ago, but you handled it like a champ, and here we are.
No worries. No problem, man.
Just talk about FIU thus far this season. Of course, had a loss to Bethune-Cookman, got a W at Southern Miss. What have the Panthers been able to do successfully on the field?
Well, basically, FIU this year, I mean, I don't know if you've heard, obviously, they're dealing with a complete new coaching staff. They're pretty much playing mix and match this season, putting whatever they can together. They have a lot of transfers, a lot of newcomers, a lot of freshmen playing. If I'm not mistaken, they're one of the youngest teams in the country. They lost, I would say, their number one running back. And they're two top receivers to suspensions and grades, academic issues. So it's been a tough, rough go for Ron Turner this season.
Well, when you look at, of course, they got a conference W against Southern Miss. And their scoring offense is right ahead of Louisiana Tech at 24 points a game, Louisiana Tech at 22 points a game. Offensively, whenever they have success, what are they doing that's giving them that success?
Well, all losses, you know, they got pretty much blown out, so nothing was really going for them offensively. In the win to Southern Miss, a true freshman running back, Silas Spearman, really carried the team. He rushed for, if I'm not mistaken, 135 yards with two scores, and that really was the difference in that game. Offensively, they're, you know, a lot of inexperience in all parts of the field, but when they did win, they won because of the running game.
And you look at the schedule thus far, they've played a couple of teams in Conference USA that don't have the strongest offenses in the conference, in Southern Miss and UAB. And their defense has given up a lot of points over the season. Maryland, 43 points. UCF, 38. Bethune-Cookman, 34. And Louisville, of course, the 72 spot. What defensively has been their biggest deficiency?
Well, I mean, I would say it starts with losing their top cornerback in Richard Leonard due to academic suspensions. Obviously, they lost Cyprian to the NFL. He's with the starting safety with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have NFL talent on the defensive line, but right now they're really small linebacker. Corners are just inexperienced right now because they were thrust into a starting role. Their safeties are starting to put it together, but you know, I would just say right now it's inexperience the majority of their issues right now.
And when you look at their rush defense, they're giving up in conference games alone 144 yards on the ground, 4.4 yards a carry and two touchdowns. Is that something they've kind of struggled to do, is stop the run?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back. I mean, last year, they supposedly were going to have one of the top defenses in the country with a heavy loaded senior class, and they struggled. So right now, I mean, it's again, like I said earlier, putting the pieces together, trying to get whatever they can out of anybody, even walk-ons. I've seen walk-ons starting and getting a lot of playing time this season with what they can do. They have Hickman at D tackle. He's going to play in the NFL. They have another defensive tackle who I always have a hard time pronouncing his name, is Issam Fassian. He's going to play on Sunday. Other than that, it's a tough season for them defensively.
And Jake Medlock, he's kind of had a rough season. He had a rough go of it early in the season, but it's kind of put a couple of games together where he's played pretty decently. What has he been able to do to kind of right his own personal ship?
Well, Jake is good at making things happen when everything breaks down. You know, FIU, the offensive line is obviously a lot of newcomers as well, and whenever the pocket collapses, he can take it, he can run it, and that's what's good about him. He makes plays, and he can make something out of nothing. He's a tough quarterback. He does get injured a lot because of it, going for that extra yard and diving and not sliding or, you know, just trying to make the extra play. But he's a gamer.
Would you expect with Louisiana Tech's strength of their defense being the defensive line that they could get to Jake Medlock a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, their offensive line is really put together, you know, by newcomers. They have a transfer in there and just a lot of new faces. So, you know, the games that I've been to and seen, you know, it's down set hike and it collapses immediately. And that's something they're working on, you know, little by little. But it's been that type of year where it's, you know, offensively it's not – like I said, Jake has to make things happen, and by running or scrambling the majority of the time.
When you look at the game day atmosphere at FIU for Louisiana Tech fans that may make the trip, what can they expect?
Well, basically, it should be a decent crowd. They just announced today that T.Y. Hilton is going to be the honorary captain of the game and lead the team onto the field. So you might get some more support because of that. You know, fans want to get a chance to see T.Y. Hilton. But, you know, as far as the game day atmosphere, it can be decent, and it's really hit or miss at FIU right now. Miami is, as you know, it's a winning town. If you win, you're a winner. You can do sellouts. I think last year FIU had 3 sellouts. But if you lose, it's tough. So it's really hit or miss.
How much is FIU reeling from the firing of Mario Cristobal?
The fan base is not happy, and they're still not happy about it. They are, I think, more upset, and they want the athletic director Pete Garcia gone. They're not happy with him at all because of that firing. So they're still, you know, with that. The whole fan base is still, you know, on that. Why did they fire Mario? You know, he had things going. He was passionate about the program. That's where the fan base is. But little by little, they're starting to see that how Ron Turner and his coaching staff is recruiting, because they are recruiting well. They have, right now, it's their top-rated recruiting class ever. If they can keep it together, it'll be their highest recruiting class ever. So,
well, I always ask everybody that comes on the show to predict the outcome of the game Saturday. None of us sitting in this studio are very good at it, but we like to ask it anyway because it's fun. Solomon, give us your prediction of a score Saturday between FIU and Louisiana Tech.
Okay, now you put me on the spot. Let's see here. I say somehow it's just going to be a high-scoring affair. I'll have to go with FIU winning 37 to 30.
37-30, FIU.
It's going to be a weird game.
That would be a very bizarre game, to say the least. Solomon, we really appreciate you coming on the show with a short notice. Look forward to talking to you again in the future.
You got it, buddy. No problem.
Thanks, Solomon. Solomon Frieder with PantherRage.com joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, picking the Panthers 37-30 over the Bulldogs Saturday in Miami. If there's 67 points scored...
There's no way there's 67 points scored.
I tend to agree with you there. That would be really, really crazy if that should happen. Let's see if we can get those phone lines heated right back up. CollegeSteel.com hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's hear from you. Give us your thoughts on the Bulldogs right now. There's lots of opinions out there, lots of feelings, because everybody's passionate about their Bulldogs in this town. Let's hear from you, 888-993-7762. We'll be back right after this.
Have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
We were worried about content this week.
Yeah, no lack of content on this show, folks.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, the hottest show of the hour.
On Tuesday nights.
On Tuesday nights. On the radio waves in Ruston, Louisiana.
right. Yeah. Continue to narrow that.
It's kind of like baseball stats. What's his ERA when it's 75 degrees and the wind's blowing out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour?
Right. Exactly. Turns out it's a zero.
Let's hear some sponsors, Jared.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegesteel.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com. Also, I haven't mentioned it tonight, but we are on Twitter. You can ask us your questions with the hashtag BTBRadio.
What a night. Getting some shout-outs on Twitter for handling the raucous callers.
Is that right?
I am. Just one.
Oh, okay. You said shout-outs, plural, so I thought maybe.
Yeah, I used an S improperly.
Well, hey, you know.
You do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. I understand.
37-30, I don't know if that's even possible.
Okay, look. I'm not. Look. I'm dumbfounded. No. Here's the deal.
You're dumb, huh?
Here's the deal. I know that the FIU has been shut out twice on the season, but they're only averaging 11 points a game. That's with two shutouts, but still 11 points a game. To say that they're going to score 37 against Tech's defense, which is they're not, you know, there's no schlum, you know. I just don't think that's going to happen. Not this week.
If Tech's offense can score 24 this week, they win.
I tend to agree. The but problem is getting them to 24. The line right now is currently at 49. Over-under is 49.
It's fallen from 49.5 to 4. It went to 50 today, right, at 6:55 p.m. Pacific time.
And currently, Louisiana Tech is a 5-point favorite.
5.5 on some lines, 4.5 on one. Yeah, it opened as a 6. It's down to a 5 at the Venetian. So, I think Kenneth Dixon gets going this week. Now,
well,
granted, FIU does have a good defensive lineman in Hickman, number 8. He can play.
You heard Snyder
Frieder.
Frieder say that
Sneeder.
He would, you heard Frieder say that
Solomon Frieder.
He will be on. See, I was mixing the two. That's a nickname that we've developed. He and I developed.
I bet he will not appreciate it.
Anyway, Solomon Frieder, you heard him say that he will be playing on Sundays. Hickman.
If Tech can isolate him, and they have done a decent job of isolating one good defensive lineman this season. A decent job of it. Now, whenever they've got a loaded defensive line, like they saw against Tulane, where they send the house, North Texas, where they pin their ears back and go after them, they had some struggles.
Sure.
It's the one dimension that is killing Tech. When a team can force Tech to be one-dimensional, they're not good. Think Tulane and North Texas.
Right. Take away the run, and in the North Texas game, force Ryan Higgins to pass the ball 54 times.
The man we haven't heard from today, and is best, normally the guy that we do hear from.
Rafe?
Rafe is on the collegesteel.com hotline. Rafe, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I just got back from dinner, so you may have to fill me in on what's already been said.
Well, just lots of passionate Tech fans, and you can imagine what they're passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kind of the criticisms abound for the performance this past Saturday, and you know, I unbelievably have spent some time this afternoon rewatching that game, and it looks exactly like it looked Saturday. I mean, uninspired, unmotivated, lethargic, no energy, you know, and it was the fans, it was the team, it was every aspect of the stadium was dull and dead. And I don't know what you can attribute that to except for some kind of lack of motivation. I mean, what have you guys determined to be our major problem? I'm not talking about in winning and losing. I'm just talking about our passion and energy level.
You know, Jared was sitting front and center, 50-yard line in the student section Saturday, and he said that he saw lots of passion from the team on the sideline, from Kenneth Dixon trying to fire up the offensive line to Kenneth Dixon and DJ Banks needing to be separated because they're both very passionate and getting frustrated. The passion was there. I'm not positive why it's not coming. It's not spilling out onto the football field. To me, the offensive woes begin at offensive line, and they almost end at offensive line. Now, I'm not saying they're the only ones playing poorly and not executing on offense, because that's certainly not the case. But it starts with them.
Yeah, I won't deny that. I mean, but there were times when we had opportunities to make the pass and catch the ball. But really what was alarming to me is the first couple of drives that North Texas had that in that second half. And they just rammed the ball down our throats. I mean, they would complete a pass when they needed to. And you know, it would be beyond the first yard marker, which is something that we often don't do as far as completing passes. And then they mixed it well, what I thought the key of the game was that their O-line dominated our defensive line. I mean, they bottom line, they did, and we couldn't get any pressure on their quarterback, and they just kind of jammed the ball down our throats. And so it wasn't just merely a lack of production offensively. They were basically imposing their will throughout the third quarter, and that's where I had to stop watching. But anyway, you know, so I'm not saying that the offensive line isn't the major weakness of the team, but it's spread pretty evenly as far as places that we've been exploited. And you know, we saw that at Army, you know, that Army just running the ball all over us. And so it's you know, I think we may be a little bit too quick to celebrate our vaunted defensive line at this point.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and honestly, I think one thing that has come up several times, not necessarily today, but from conversations I've had, is this team doesn't respond well to another team that's extremely physical. And you think about Army, they didn't respond well to a team that you knew was going to be physical. And North Texas, they knew was going to be physical, and they didn't respond well to that. I think that comes from something inside of you. You're either bred to not bred to. You either innate have an innate ability to respond well to that kind of play, or you don't. I don't know if that's even can be taught.
Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that there is some way that you can motivate and model that type of passion and that type of aggression. But, just the best way I can phrase it is that we probably played, you know, maybe Rice is a team that is comparable to North Texas and Tulane. These are probably the best in-conference teams that we'll play this year, along with Rice. And so I really won't cut any slack. I mean, if we go to Ford International and lose, you know, then
all bets are off. I mean, no one will be – there won't be a whole lot of sunshine to be pumped should Tech go to FIU this weekend and lay an egg.
Yeah, that would be, you know, because North Texas did dominate a pretty good San Antonio team, and they, you know, they defensively, you know, handled them, and so that's the only thing is I'm hoping maybe we hit a team that was really hot, and they, like you said, they were aggressive and physical and confident, and we have not responded to that thus far this year. But, you know, I guess the rest of the script remains to be told, but I'm watching with great interest, as I'm sure many others are.
Absolutely, Rafe, and thanks for the call. Are you gonna head out Thursday for the Tech Madness for basketball?
Yeah, I spent a lot of money on Tech basketball tickets this year, and here a gripe. I do not like Wednesday night games. I will be coming to Wednesday night games, some of them, but I don't like that. I mean, especially if I'm going to, you know, personally, the amount of money that I spent on Tech basketball, I'm not even going to tell my wife. But I do not – the other thing I don't like besides Wednesday night games is I don't like non-competition type stuff. I mean, the show stuff. I've got a bunch of highlight reel dunkers. I mean, Michael Qualls. I've seen every kind of dunk that you could possibly do, and that's not my thing. I mean, that's more of the students for me, but I will be in the Tech for whenever real competition ensues.
I completely understand where you're coming from. Good talking to you, my friend.
All right, man. I'll see you later.
And keep that bank statement away from the wife.
I've got like 2 weeks, and if you hear from me in 2 weeks and she hadn't found it, then I made it clear.
There you go. Just find that shredder.
All right, man.
That's funny stuff. You know, that was something that I noticed, that Louisiana Tech, her Conference USA is playing a Wednesday-Friday schedule this year. And that, why?
You know what that means? I will not be at a Wednesday game one time all season.
That's true. You've got Wednesday priorities.
I do.
Somebody pays you in Leesville to come and talk to some Utes.
That's correct, some Utes.
I know you've heard that term.
Oh, of course.
Everybody's heard that term in this part of the country. You know, Rafe is always he's realistic.
Yeah.
And he is every single week. And I'm not calling these people morons that called earlier. That's not what I'm getting at, because everybody is entitled to their opinion. But when you have a guy like Rafe that has been around the program and seen so many games, and he approaches it with such realism, it's hard to argue with him.
Right, no. And something that I always notice that Rafe mentions when he calls is that he's watched the game a second time. I feel like sometimes when I watch the game, whether it be live or on television, my initial reaction is generally overblown, and then I watch it a second time, look back at it, and can kind of use better judgment because I'm not off the cuff.
We had this discussion about a tweet several weeks ago, you and I did.
Yes, yeah, we did.
Where you second-guessed a play call, and I told you, I said, you can second-guess every play call on the field.
Sure.
And whenever I think it was a screen.
Well, it was a... Yeah, it was a screen on like a 3rd and 12 or something.
But then it was before the UTEP game, and then they ran a draw to Kenneth Dixon on 3rd and 20 something, and he gets the first down. You just can't predict what's going to happen on a play.
Right.
And when you're a coach, you're trying to put your players in a position to be the most successful.
Right. And ultimately, it's up to the players to execute that game plan.
We are not privied to the ability, to the chance to sit in these offensive and defensive meeting rooms.
Right.
And their game plans.
No locker room access here whatsoever. Nothing like that.
So it's easy to sit back and say, on third and nine, when you ran that 5-yard slant trying to get a guy to make him to break a tackle and get the 7 yards. Yeah, it's easy for us to sit back and say you should have run a 6-yard crossing route. Probably should have, in hindsight. But unless your crystal ball works better than my crystal ball works, you don't know what's going to happen until after it happens.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. After this, we will give our predictions of FIU Louisiana Tech Saturday at 5 p.m. Central in Miami.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, ESPN Radio 97.7. Jared King, ladies and gentlemen, he's just concerned about beating me in this hole.
No. Ask him.
Right before we come back from the break, he goes, are you taking Tech or are you taking FIU? I say Tech, and he says, all right, I'm taking FIU.
Well, no. For those of you who subscribe to BleedTechBlue.com.
Well, even if they don't, because there's a free story.
Oh, Conference USA Week 9 preview is on the front page there. And I do it every week. My record is 54-20, just to point that out. Anyway, and this week in my preview, I chose FIU to beat Louisiana Tech.
Even though Tech's favored by 5.
Tech is favored by 5. At the time that I picked them, Tech was favored by 6.
And Tech against the spread this year is really bad.
Yes, they are.
Really bad. For all you bettors out there.
Not that either of us condone
betting
on games.
Absolutely not. So let's go ahead and start with it, and then we'll get to the your preview. We'll talk about the games at Conference USA, and then we'll wrap up the show. So give us you know, you've already told us who you think's going to win. Let's hear.
Actually, I didn't. Actually, you gave that away for me.
I did.
You gave that away for me.
I gave it away for you. Let's hear what you think the score will be.
Last week, I picked up a game against Jay Ford.
Still 2 games back.
Joe Dirt did not pick up a game. So now I'm ahead.
He's 4
of Joe.
Games back.
Yeah, he's out of it.
He don't care.
Let's let's call it like it is. Joe is done. I have FIU beating Louisiana Tech by a final score of 27-21.
Ooh, another close one. To use Aaron Dietrich's, a squeaker.
You did a really good impersonation there. I didn't realize that we had Frank Caliendo on the show.
He texted me earlier and he missed one of the passionate calls, and he hates he missed it, so I had to give him a little squeaker. I'm going to go close to that over under of 49, and you did as well.
Mm-hmm, I did.
You went right at it. You said 27-21, so you're going to say that you went under.
Yeah, 48.
I'm going to go right at it. We're going to say 28-21 Louisiana Tech.
And I could see that happening. I mean, it's not as if FIU's defense is vaunted or anything.
I think Kenneth Dixon's going to do a UTEP on him.
And he very well could, especially if they control Hickman at the line of scrimmage. That's asking Vince Kano.
Well, no, they move him around. You will see Hickman lined up as a 3 technique, which is a D tackle at the nose at end. He will be all over there, all over the line of scrimmage.
Or you can line him up against Kano, who consistently gets beat.
Man, you're rough.
Well, no, it's just the truth about Vince Kano.
But, you know, against UTEP, he destroyed those D tackles, and against – he's had some really good games.
He has, but he's also had some stinkers.
Some stinkers instead of squeakers?
Right, yeah.
There's little argument to to that fact, and I would imagine he would admit it. That's the kind of guy that Vince Cano is. Let's look at the Conference USA schedule this week. Marshall travels to Murfreesboro, Tennessee to play Middle Tennessee Thursday night, 6:30 on Fox Sports 1. Marshall favored by 10.5. And of course, these lines are for entertainment purposes only. No condoning of betting happening here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Of course.
How about that disclaimer?
Note that Marshall versus Middle Tennessee on Thursday night is the only live televised game of the week.
Yes.
There will be two games on ESPN3.
One of which is a game of a future conference USA.
Right. That's in Western Kentucky hosting Troy.
Old Dominion in an FCS matchup. Old Dominion at Norfolk State. I don't like to say that Norfolk word the correct way. That is not the correct way. I just don't think the FCC likes it to be said the correct way. And he knows exactly what I mean because he lived in that place at one point in his lifetime. The line, of course, is not available because it's an FCS matchup. Jared says Old Dominion will win. I tend to agree with Jared. They are 4-3 on the season.
With all three losses to FBS opponents.
Norfolk State is 2-5. UTEP at 1-5 at Rice, 5-2. 2:30 in Houston. Rice by 18, it may be by 95 by the time it's all said and done. As well as Rice runs the ball, this won't be close.
Yeah, I picked Rice. I would imagine that Rice would cover that 18-point spread.
I would imagine as well.
I think Rice wins
big. If the over-under is, I would guess it's in a 50 range, I would go over on that.
It's 59.5.
60. Well, I wouldn't go over on 59.5. I would go under there.
Maybe Vegas, if it was 56, 57.
Vegas knows what the heck they're doing when they're setting those over-unders.
Absolutely.
Tulsa 2-4 at Tulane 5-2. How in the world is Tulsa favored in this game?
I don't know. Tulsa is favored by 3.
Let's see if it's still there. I'm going to check the
currently lines. Now Tulsa is now favored by 3.5, so it's actually went up by half a point since I did these yesterday.
And the over-under is 48.5.
Tulsa wins this. I mean, if Tulane wins this game, it'll be the first time they're bowl eligible since 2002 when they defeated Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl. I picked Tulane to win 7.
And you know, maybe they know something I don't about Tulsa-Tulane. But that seems like that doesn't make any sense.
Well, Tulsa has been the favorite,
and Nick Montana is probable for the game. He's not out.
Right, he'll most likely be playing, not Powell.
That's a Tulane. Betters, there's an opportunity to make some money on that game.
I have Tulane winning that game, although Tulsa is favored by 3.5 now.
Troy at 4-3 goes to play Western Kentucky on the road, who is also 4-3, 3 o'clock on ESPN3 on Saturday. Western Kentucky by 7.5. You have Western Kentucky. I tend to agree with that as well. Troy, that record's kind of bloated. They're not as good as their record indicates.
And Western Kentucky is in the top 35 in the country in total offense.
Imagine that with
Petrino, right? Yeah. Nearly 500 yards of offense per game, but they're only putting up 29 points per game.
To show you how even this conference is, UTSA, a team that most people think is a pretty middle-of-the-road team in Conference USA, UAB travels to play them in San Antonio, and UTSA is only favored by 3.5.
And
UAB is not very good.
No, UAB is not very good, and I fully expect UTSA to beat them by more than that. The line is currently at 6.5, so it has moved. To UTSA by 6.5.
And that's still not a huge margin.
No.
Just like Louisiana Tech FIU is only a 5-point margin.
Right.